David's Daily Digital Dollop, Dollop 350. My goodness, it's a big one. You're probably thinking, you've probably got something special for today's dollop, David, you know, with it being 350. It's quite a momentous one. And you'd be right. Yes, I have planned something special. I am in the kitchen. I'm in my kitchen in Sheffield. I say my kitchen in Sheffield. Obviously, this is where I live. I don't just have a kitchen in Sheffield. I'm in my house. The kitchen in my house in Sheffield. But yes, I've certainly pulled out all the stops for the 350th dollop because this will be the last time I shall be dolloping from this kitchen. And so I thought it would be fitting to do a dollop as it's the 350th while washing the dishes for the final time on David's Daily Digital Dollop. I think we've done it 3-4 times maybe before on the dollop where I've done dollops while washing the dishes. You'll have lots of memories, of course. It brought us such features as what am I washing? A brilliant feature where I washed a thing and you had to guess what I was washing. There was another time, of course, on the dollop when I was doing the dishes that I lost the sponge and then found the sponge again, and we played a game called Where's My Sponge? You had to guess where the sponge was. So lots of brilliant features. Well, two brilliant features, but I mean, I would argue that there is the quality of the features are so good that they are probably the equivalent of 10 good features. So, I mean, no pressure, but it's the 350th dollop, and I'm doing the dishes. So, I mean, something really needs to happen, doesn't it? Forgive me if I get a bit teary in today's dollop. Dropping the bloody knife. When I say the bloody knife, I just mean, you know, the annoying knife. In case you're worried there, I've just let something slip. Oh, I've just done a sacrifice. I always do that before a dollop, just to, you know, I always do a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. You know, like sort of almost to the gods. I'm a bit of a superstitious person. It's just to make sure the dollop goes well. It's like a prayer. Always do a bit of a blood sacrifice. That's, to be honest, the reason why I'm so far behind on the dollops. That's why I'm 7 days behind on the dollops. It's because I've not been able to find the animals to sacrifice. If you're wondering why you haven't heard anything from Nigel and Molly, the two cats, of recent, then I'm afraid that's the reason why I got a bit desperate. Had to sacrifice them. So I'll be doing two dollops today before I head back home to Hartlepool. I mean, technically, I would be back home in time for the X9, X10 bus Christmas party. Now, I have talked about this before on a Young'un's podcast a few years ago. When I used to have a proper job, I used to commute every day from Hartlepool to Gateshead. And depending on what time of the day I set off, I would either get the X9 or the X10 bus. And I was doing this for a good few months. And it was a fairly arduous having to do 4 hours commute every single day. But then, one day, the bottom deck was full. There was no room on the bottom deck, so we had to go up to the top deck. We ventured up to the top deck, and that is where everything changed. It was like entering another world. In the past, we'd got on the bus and everyone just ignored each other, they had the earphones in and just kept themselves to themselves. But when we ventured up to the top deck, it was a completely different world. Hello, you're just in time, they said. Come and join us. Monday is quiz day.
Hello.
Hello, Ben. This is quite emotional. This might be the last time that you hear Ben on the dollop. I'm sure you all have your memories of Ben and his penis extension, whatever it was, pierced penis. Oh, that's the sound of it there. There's going to be a lot of emotion over the next few dollops. Anyway, and they said, oh, well, every Monday we have a quiz. Anyway, afterwards I was chatting to some of them. And they said, oh, we've been coming on these. You know, a lot of us have been coming on this bus for years. And we've just got to know each other over the years. And, you know, we all sit on the top deck and we have a bit of a chat to each other. And now and again we'll have quizzes and we'll play charades and we'll do all sorts of stuff. There were people of all ages there. You know, people who just started their jobs and were in their early 20s. To people who were nearing retirement age in their 60s. Having quizzes, chatting about stuff, doing crosswords, charades, whatever. Anyway, I had a week or so off work and they said, well, we're going to have our X9 X10 bus Christmas party. But it'll be sometime in the next couple of weeks. Give us your email address and we'll add you to the mailing list and we'll let you know when it is, because I wasn't going to be on the bus. And a few days later, I received an email from a man I'd not yet met, because he was on the other bus. I primarily travelled on the X9 and he was an X10 traveller at a different time to me. But the same thing happened on the X10 as it did on the X9, because they all knew each other and they all travelled on different buses, just depending on what time they got up and that kind of thing. And he was the leader. He was Colin, who called himself the X9 X10 Communications Czar. And he said, after a bit of consultation with everybody in the bus, the best date for the Christmas party will be, and then he gave us the date, and he said, as usual, there will be carols on the bus, and then we'll all get off the bus and we'll head to the pub for the X9 X10 Christmas party. And so that's what we did. We all got on the bus, we sang carols on the top deck, walked to the pub, and at our Christmas party. And it's just so weird to think that the only thing that we had in common was that we all got the same bus together. Oh, Elsa. She does. It's too late for that, Elsa. Your whispering has been caught. It's the last time that you'll ever be on it. It's very emotional, Elsa. I'm sure now people are thinking of their various memories of Elsa. Oh yeah, of course, your mum, yeah. So many memories, people. Oh, it's very emotional, this, isn't it?
It is a small Father Christmas walking wind-up. Don't walk off the table.
Mine is a big
drum. It's going around the corner. It's going to go off the table. Cut it, David, cut it!
I've caught it. Fear not. No Father Christmases were harmed during the making of this dollop. Although, two cats were. If Father Christmas had fallen off the table, he'd have probably been slayed.
Oh dear.
Or reindeer.
David, do you want a bag like this? In fact, would you like this bag to put the...
Go on, I'll do that.
Do you want to just hold it?
Yeah. Typical Ben. He offers me a bag. In exchange, he asks me to hold it. Thank you, Ben.
We'll probably see. We're yes. About to do
tonight.
If not, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Elsa. Oh, we'll see each other again, won't we? This is going to be silly now.
Well, this is for the record.
Enjoy. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. It's all very emotional, isn't it? That's the last time. Ben and Elsa will be on the dollop. Just take a few minutes to reflect on your favourite memories, whether it was Ben getting his penis pierced, Elsa curled up with the cat. Do you remember that? Elsa had it on her knee and I put my ear to it. And we had a good listen to her pussy, didn't we? It's very emotional. I hope people weren't laughing there. That wasn't meant to be a joke. That was a slip of the tongue with the pussy. It's meant to be emotional, this. I'll do for emotion. Right. So, anyway, so we went to the pub and I ended up staying out. I was only planning on being there for a couple of hours because at this point I'd only been on the bus for a month or two. I didn't really know the people as well as other people knew each other. I mean, I knew them quite well, but I thought, oh, it'd be nice, you know, I'll do it for a couple of hours and then I'll get the bus home. But I ended up chatting to different people. I met Colin, the X9X10 communications czar, and we got on really well. We got chatting. People kept buying me drinks. I ended up deciding I was going to get the last bus home. And then about 5 minutes before the last bus, he said, oh, come on. Colin was like, come on, I'll get you another drink. You can stay at mine if you want. And of course, I mean, how could I refuse? I was being offered a drink. And not only that, to go to the house of the X9X10 communications czar. I mean, my goodness. So I had another drink. I then headed to his house. He said, do you fancy another one in my local? So we went to his local pub. It was a little bit disconcerting when I walked into the pub because a few of the regulars were like, oh, here he is. Oh, and he's brought another young man with him. And I thought, oh no, he's done this before, hasn't he? Maybe he does this every Christmas. He gets an impressionable young lad from the bus. The whole thing's a grooming exercise. This whole X9, X10 communications czar, quizzes, charades on the bus. It is a charade. It's just a grooming exercise. I'm one of his young men. But it turns out they were just joking, because it turned out we had wife and kids. Anyway, we got home. He's like, oh, you must try some of this whiskey. I'm a big fan of whiskies, he says. So he gets me this whiskey. Now, I'm not really much of a whiskey drinker, but when you're in the presence of the X9 X10 communications czar, you don't say no. You know, you've got to take what's on offer. But that's the last thing I remember. The next thing I remember, I'm waking up completely confused as to where I am. It takes me ages to kind of put the pieces together, and I realise I'm on the sofa of the X9 X10 communications czar in his house. He's not beside me. Anyway, so we all get up, then I meet the family, the wife and the kids. We have breakfast together. I was going to meet Ben in York. He says, oh, well, we're going to go out to York. We're going to go up to the Christmas market. I'll drop you off. We got there a bit earlier than expected. Ben wasn't meeting me for another hour. They were hungry, so we ended up having lunch together. And then we said goodbye to each other. And I went to the next X9 X10 Christmas party as well. But then I left the job altogether. And then I moved to Manchester, and now obviously I'm in Sheffield. But I still get the X9 X10 emails from Colin, the communications czar. Even though I've not spoken to him for absolutely ages, I probably don't know half the people on the X9, X10 now. You know, there'll be a lot of new faces there. But I get the updates. Now and again, I'll have a little read. You know, like people retiring, bereavements, promotions, redundancies. People have gone to funerals of the X9, X10 bus travellers. News about family members. They go for walks together. Anyway, on one of the Young'uns podcasts, I did a little bit of a recording from the X9 X10 Christmas party. So you may have heard it before. Feel free to stop listening here. But it's just a few minutes long, and I just thought I would end with this. And you too can have a little bit of an experience of the X9 X10 bus Christmas party, in which we meet some of the regulars, including Colin, the X9 X10 communications czar.
Very good, Gene, yes. All in the Christmas spirit. This is where Christmas officially begins. The X10 bus. Yeah. I assume you haven't got... We're not doing special bus-based carols. I assume we're...
As I say, top deck the halls. Yes, thank you.
Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh.
There's a purple person on the mobile now. Get me off this bus. Get me off this bus, Angie.
I'm
going in the front seat of the magic. Oh, yes, giving us the key. Excellent. I think they invested in that technology on the bus, especially for this occasion.
That's right, I am the communications czar. Thank you for noting that.
Of course, I'm always deferential towards you, and I'm absolutely honoured that you have agreed to do a little podcast interview, and the listeners are also very honoured as well. In fact, it's probably going to multiply our listenership by 10, I would imagine.
Oh.
Colin, explain, how long have you been a traveller on the X9 X10 bus, firstly?
Well, originally I started in 1989, but on a daily basis, about 7 or 8 years. I got Brian, who works with me. He's been going on a daily basis for about 17 years.
What were bus journeys like? I mean, if we're going to say I was only 4, take us back to the dark ages of bus travel. What were bus journeys like in 1989, Colin?
They were just very much the same as
really?
To be honest.
So yes. I think, therefore, there is a sense of a potential monotony when it comes to bus travelling, but you seem to have managed to really perk up the passengers and bus travel in general on the X9 and X10s and the X10 buses by actually doing something, getting people involved, a bit of community spirit going on. So how did that all start, Colin?
Well, first of all, obviously, I can't take all the credit. There's lots of gossipy people, to put it politely, on the X9 and X10. I suppose when it really starts is when, if there's an accident on the A19 or it's blocked for some reason.
As there frequently is.
As there occasionally is, yes. You know, I'll pop down, I'll ask the driver what's happening, and I'll tell everybody what's happening.
Right.
So it's communication.
So you were the communications czar.
Oh,
you
right from before. Well, I think, once the ice had been broken, I work with a lad, so I talk with him. And then a lady got on the bus who I'd known 20 years ago, so I talk with her. And, you know, just things progress. I naturally talk to people. I'm from County Durham, which possibly explains it.
Right.
Because people from County Durham like to talk a lot. We're all on a bus for an hour, or more, perhaps. And you've got to pass that time somehow.
That's exactly what I think. And I think, unfortunately, you get people who are very closed off. And I don't think there's anything wrong with this necessarily, but you get people who go on the bus, they come on the bus with their earphones on, they'll maybe mumble something to the bus driver, and then they'll head to the back of the bus and they'll just sit there with their earphones in.
If you wish to have a little discussion, I'm your man. There's no doubt about it.
So now we got ourselves to the point where we're currently here. It's not we're not on the bus anymore, Colin. We're actually at the Red Lion pub in Norton. How have we managed to take it then from getting everybody off the bus into the Red Lion? I mean, that must...
That took about the blink of an eye, that really. It was a sunny afternoon. Someone said, I fancy a pint.
And right, and
three
here we
or four
are.
Of us said,
and
yeah, so are. Do I. And so it changed from the occasionally having a pint in the Red Lion at 6 o'clock on a Friday night to having a Christmas party. And I think this is our fourth Christmas party.
Right, okay. When did the Christmas carols start then? How did they start?
Well, it was the first Christmas party. There was a bit of confusion. One lad brought wine and pop and glasses and crisps on the bus. He thought the party was going to be on the bus. So we distributed all of those around the top deck. And he turned out to be probably a Methodist or something along those lines. But he loved singing Christmas carols. So he started us off. Now, by chance, that night I'd been on my work's do, and I had 5 pints of beer inside of me.
Yeah.
So I got singing as well. Behind us, there were some obviously theatrical students, because they were belting the tunes out like megaphones. And it brought, the first time was astronomical, because nearly the whole deck was singing Christmas carols from Gateshead to Norton. And it was surreal. It really was surreal. I was pinching myself.